highlight that that prayer has another part. Let your kingdom come. And then what else? Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And that's my focus today. Because for the fullness of the manifestation of the kingdom of God to be experienced, His will has to be allowed. Praise the name of the Lord. From the beginning, when the Lord created us, there is something that He never took away from us. And that is the free will, the will, our will. You have a will. Praise the name of the Lord. And I was looking at the depth of this word, will. Have you ever noticed how many times you use that word during the day as you express what you will do or your actions, your choices? Have you ever been conscious of how many times you've used that word? It's an action word. I will. I'll see you. I'll call you. As we talk about the future wishes, we use this word, will. And at the same time, when somebody passes on to glory or just dies, there is a question that those that have left ask. And they ask, did he have a will? You know, and it's good to normalize having a will, especially in our culture. And how many of you here have a written will? Can you see? How many of you here have a written will? You see our brother Derek there. Their culture, if that is not a taboo. It's nothing to be afraid of, having a will. Huh? Amen. How many of you have are going to think of having a written will? You know, we got born again because we want to go to heaven. Amen. And how comes we do not prepare to go to heaven? Amen. We need to get to a place where death should not scare you. Amen. Some people, we have all these weird myths in our culture. We think that if you write a will, then it's like you're planning to die. It is okay to plan to die. Amen. So when somebody passes on, those that are left are left wondering, did he have a will? Some may not have a written will, but some may ask, what was the last words that they said? Because it is taken as your wish, as your will. Whatever you say, that is your. Do you see how important will is? Praise the name of the Lord. Because if people know what you was in your will, or if you had a written will, then it guarantees that whatever you desired, even in your absence, it will happen. You know, when we are absent here and we are present with the Lord. When you have a will, it means whatever you desired, whatever you wished for, if the people around you are people who respect and even the law covers and stands for you, that if this was the will, then that is how it is going to be. That's how it's going to be done. Praise the name of the Lord. And I was also thinking about the people who, you know, run and do politics. We live in the era of democracy, and I know there are many nations in the world that are nations that operate in democracy. And what is democracy? What does it state? It is the will of the people, and it is for the. Come on. Yeah? Am I saying it wrong? It is the will of. It's the will of the people. So somebody who wants to be elected in any office, for them to win the hearts of the people and get votes, they study what is the will of the people, what are the people wishing for, what are their needs, and then they create a manifesto that meets the will of the people. And when that person stands and they say, like, my government, I let me just quote from where I come from. My government will make this road tarmac. In the era, where I started hearing these promises. And you people and the people in the area are struggling because they don't have tarmac roads. They'll be like, okay, I think we will choose this one. Who will give us? And then somebody else says, my first order of business when elected, all of you will have piped water. So for a person who goes to the river and carries a jerrycan on the back or on the head and comes with water, when they hear that, because you'd wish, you'd want for you to have that tap water, you're like, okay, I'm giving my vote to this one because his agenda aligns with my needs and my wishes. And just laying a foundation of how important the will is. The will is, and all this, I'm focusing on the will of the people. But then, when we pray this prayer, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, it is a prayer of surrender. Number one, it is a prayer of surrender. It is a prayer of saying, I got my will. I have my wishes, I have my needs, I have my wants, I have my desires, but because I am in this kingdom, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of the Father, now it's not about my will, it's not about my desire, it's not about my needs, but I'm surrendering my own will and wishes and seeking that your will, Lord, will be done. Praise the name of the Lord. And we find this, and this is what I call a battle of wills. When we pray this prayer, it is a contention. There is always a contention with our will and his will. Praise the name of the Lord. Jesus, at the Garden of Gethsemane, prayed earnestly. Because it was so hard to surrender to the will of the Father. Because it wasn't aligning with his will. His will was, I don't want to feel pain because he was 100% human. I don't want to die this shameful, embarrassing death. If I had an opportunity to be asked, what would you want? I would say, Father, can we get some other means? You know, we got all those angels and chariots of fire out there. Why can't I just bring a revolution? You know, why do I have to save people by dying? I can't understand this will. And so in the Garden of Gethsemane, he prayed earnestly. He struggled. He fought. And at last, the Bible says that even the sweating, he was sweating drops of blood. You know, I'm talking about a real struggle. Praise the name of the Lord. A real struggle. You're struggling to the point of shedding blood. Instead of sweating water, you're sweating. I don't want to even try to quantify what kind of a struggle that was, but it was a real struggle. Praise the name of the Lord. And at one point, he got to the place of saying, Father, yet not my will, but let your will be done. And one of the things that happens that is very unique, the moment he surrendered his will and just allowed the will of God to be done, the Bible says, and the angels came and ministered to him. The angels came and ministered to him. They came, ministered to him, empowered him, gave him the whatever he needs to fulfill the will of the Father. And so when we pray, thy will be done, thy kingdom come. We talked about the kingdom last week. And then this part is very important. Thy will be done. Thy will, Lord, whatever is happening in heaven, let it happen here on earth. It means we have to move out of the way with our agendas and our plans and our wishes, and allow his purpose to be manifested. Allow his will to be done. Allow what he intended to be done to be done, even if it is not in your own design and liking. Praise the name of the Lord. So this is a prayer of surrender. Ephesians 5 verse 17 says, and I'm reading from NIV today, it says, therefore, do not be foolish. I said 5:17. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. In the book of Psalms, the 19:1 or 14:1, it says, a fool says in his heart, there is no God. A fool says in his heart, there is no God. And so as we talk about the battle of wills, Paul is saying, there is a way you can still push. You just want your will and not God's will. And that is a sign of foolishness. Because it means you are trying to contend with one who is more powerful than you. The fool is the one who says, there is no God. The fool says in his heart, there is no God. The fool. Anyone who says there is no God is. Amen? They are corrupt, their deeds are vile, there is no one who does good. So one of the ways to display your foolishness and folly is by disregarding that there is a God and just doing your own things. And that is why Paul is saying, do not be foolish. But understand what is the will of God. When you understand what is the will of God, which begins from acknowledging there is God and fearing him and reverencing him, then you get to a place of surrendering and understanding what is the will of the Father. In Romans 12 verse 2, the Bible says, do not conform to the pattern of this world. Do not conform to the pattern of this world. So many of the patterns of this world are saying boldly, there is no God. The corrupt and the vile things that happen, those patterns, they are displaying foolishness. Let me just call it out. And so Paul is saying, do not conform to the pattern of this world. Remember, we are talking about a kingdom we belong to. So there is no way you can belong to this unique kingdom and yet you have assimilated yourself, you have compromised, you have conformed to the patterns of this world. Praise the name of the Lord. Because once you do that, then there is no difference. And as we said last week, if you are in a foreign land and you're an American citizen and there are chaos, it doesn't matter whether the chaos are caused by the government of the country where you are in. As long as you can get yourself to the embassy, then whatever happens in that embassy, in that environment, is not what is happening in that government. It might be, let's talk about maybe, give me an example. Let's talk about Kenya. Amen. So, once you go to the American embassy, like there were demonstrations and, you know, during demonstrations, you're an American citizen and you're in Kenya and there are chaos. As long as you are in the American embassy, you cannot say, I had carried some stones too. Can I continue? Throwing. was in the demonstration there, I also have my stones. They will tell you whatever throwing stones is happening cannot happen here. This is now the United States. So if you want to start, continue throwing stones, you go. Continue throwing. So assuming I'm just creating a scenario as we go. You go and continue throwing stones and you get hit. Are you going to come back and say, oh, the American government did not protect its citizens? Why? Because you did not understand the nation that you represent. And so Paul is saying, do not conform to the patterns of this world. Many believers have conformed to the patterns of this world, and in the process have been in danger. In the process, we are facing consequences that are not supposed to be experienced as a believer. Praise the name of the Lord. So as a believer, do you stand up and start rushing out and yelling and fighting? No. You're going to get your teeth knocked out and you can't ask, oh Jesus, where was the Lord? Why were you doing that? Is that what the Lord would have wanted you to do? Praise the name of the Lord. So do not be conformed to the patterns of this world, but be ye transformed. So the moment you come to the kingdom, there is transformation that needs to happen. And this is where we allow the Lord to just continue transforming us. You cannot remain the same. You came to Christ, you had anger issues. You know, you are this nasty, mean person. And still remain in Christ, being nasty and mean and rude. No change is happening. The Bible says, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. And why is it important that transformation has to start here? Because as a man thinketh, so is he. If you think as a kingdom person, then whatever you display will be a display of the kingdom. Praise the name of the Lord. And so transformation has to start in the mind. Renewing of your mind. How are you thinking? Are you thinking like the Lord ordained you to think? Can you just proudly declare, I have the mind of Christ because Christ lives in me? Praise the name of the Lord. And then when this transformation happens, the Bible says, then you will be able to test and approve two things. You will be able to test and approve. Meaning, when it comes to testing, it means it's not everything goes. There is evaluation. There is research. Amen. There are practical work that is involved in the testing. And how many of us and how many believers do not even take a minute to test? We just approve, and allow. From the renewing of the mind, we have the ability to test and approve. When you test, then the next level of approving, what is it that you're approving? You are approving what is God's will. His good, His pleasing, and perfect will. What is it that you have approved and allowed? And that is why I'm saying this is a prayer of surrender. Let thy will be done. Somebody may come to you and say, I am feeling that you need to give me your car. And because the person is a believer, you're like, oh, because... Are you sure God told you, okay, you can have the keys, and then you start walking home and getting angry? Did you test? Or did you just approve? I know that is an extreme. But how many of the believers, how many people have become offended because of this they approved? And then they face consequences of pain and hurt and betrayal. But who approved? Who approved? Who allowed it? Can you tell your neighbor, it is your work to test and approve the will of God? Is this his good will? Is this his pleasing will? Is this his perfect will? Can you tell your neighbor against until they know it is your responsibility to test and approve? And that brings me back to the same place. Do not be foolish. Praise the name of the Lord. Do not be foolish. Help me preach. Tell your neighbor, do not be foolish. It is your work by the renewal of your mind. If you have a kingdom mindset, your work is to test and approve. And say, this one I approve because this is the will of God. This one I do not approve. Praise the name of the Lord. How many times do you see people endorsing? Approval. This approval is like endorsement. Yeah? Approved. This message is approved. This one is endorsed. You are endorsing. You have such a responsibility in the kingdom. And on this earth, we are in this world, but we are not of the world. And so it is such a responsibility upon us. You check and say, this one I will not approve. It is not in his will. It is not God's will. Praise the name of the Lord. Do you understand? Do we understand how much power, how much authority we have? Because we belong to this powerful kingdom. I want us today to understand this. That we have this authority, this power. You are a representative of the kingdom. And you can look at a situation in your family and test it and say, this is not the will of God. It is not the will of God that my brothers, my sisters are sick all the time. I do not approve this. Praise the name of the Lord. Can you walk into an environment where you work and look at the way things are and you say, I am testing this and this is not the will of God. I do not approve. And so what do you do when you do not approve? It means you have authority to bring change. And this is where the prayer comes in. Thy will be done here, Lord. Let your will be done. I do not approve. I do not agree. It is the will of God that the children may become addicts. We are in a state where weed is, they say for medicinal use. But how many are using it and it's not for medicinal use? You find a 12-year-old, a 14-year-old smoking weed. And I remember when I was growing up in middle school, I remember our science teacher telling us one puff will stay with you for 10 years. Your brain will always be. And I wonder, the same information we got about the effect of weed growing up. And you would not touch it. Because we were told, well, that one puff that way, 10 years, you will still be behaving like somebody who smoked weed 10 years after. And I still remember that information that I wouldn't go near it. Because I'm like, if I can mess up my life for 10 years because of a puff. Praise the name of the Lord. And then here we are in this state where they write the effects of THC in very little small numbers, And then it has been made very available. We get a dispensary every town. You look at it, you test it, and you're like, I do not approve. This is not God's will. When you approve or disapprove, what do you do? Then this prayer comes in. Thy will be done. It is the will of God that our minds and our lives, we may be sober. Amen. What does the word of God say? Be sober.
So anything that is not letting people be sober, even in their decision making, it is not the will of God. I'm just giving you an example. But where does this prayer come to place after you test, approve, or disapprove? Number two, we need to know His will. You know, how would you approve something if you don't know? We need to know His will. Do you know His will? The Bible says, do not be foolish, but understand what is the will of God. And I say there is a call to us knowing the will of God. It is a call, and it is an urgent call for us to know the will of God. When we are forming relationships, one of the things we pursue is to know somebody's likes and dislikes. I still remember one of our check-in here, and the question was, what is your pet peeve? And for some reason, we've done so many check-ins here, but that check-in has stuck with me because it was a time where everybody said what they don't like and what pushes their buttons to feel angry. I still remember Monica's pet peeve. I still remember Skate pet. Like, I remember because I want to have a good relationship with this family. And so I take care of myself so that I don't do what they don't like. Praise the name of the Lord. So let's talk about this. When people go dating, the first few dates, the conversation is, what do you like? What is your favorite movie? Or they don't ask that nowadays. What is your favorite song? What is your favorite color? I'm giving tips to those who are heading there to dating. Don't start looking at me like I got an idea. No, you're too young. Praise the name of the Lord. We spend time to know the likes and dislikes. Praise the name of the Lord. So I assume, imagine this person that you have known for some time and they even know what you're allergic to. And then one day they just show up and they give you something that you're allergic to. What are the thoughts that are going on in your mind at that point? What are you thinking at that point? Huh? Huh? I want to finish you. Yeah? Can you see how it is? Like, you start thinking, oh, I thought they knew me. I thought they knew me. You know, I thought that they were thinking about me. When they went to that place to buy something, I thought they had me in mind. Then how comes what they brought me is not me at all? You think about those things. And that's why I'm saying there is a call. This is a journey in the kingdom, a journey of discovering what is the will of the Father. What is it that He likes? What is it that He desires? What is His will? When Jesus was battling in that Garden of Gethsemane, He wasn't battling because He didn't know His will, but He was trying to see whether there's going to be a compromise. But He knew what is the will of God. Praise the name of the Lord. Can you ask this for me, to your neighbor? Do you know His will? Do you know His will? Because you can only approve that which you know. Do you know His will? You can only declare for His will to be done when you know it. What is it when we say, thy will be done? Do we know His will? You are there in prayer, praying about a certain issue. What is His will concerning that area? Because even our prayers, the Lord promised to answer our prayers when we pray according to His will. So knowing His will is of such great importance. You cannot just pray for that. I don't know whether that's a Kikuyu English word. Fokodare means just anyhow. You're gonna know his will. And what I'm just gonna highlight some of the some points here I saw as I was seeking. What is his will? And I'm not saying this is an exhaustive list, but you need to get into this journey of discovering his will. In every area of your life, what is his will? So 1 Peter 2:15 says, "For it is God's will that by doing good, it is God's will that by doing good, you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish people." Today I'm talking so much about the foolish people, yeah? But how do we silence them? It is God's will. His will is for us to do good, doing good. That is one. I'm just giving you what I've discovered, and I want you to go on a journey and discover his will for yourself. So it is God's will that by doing good, when I'm doing good, we silence the ignorant talk of the foolish people by doing good. Ever been in a place and somebody tells you, if it was me, if it was me, they cannot do that. If it was, it is good to tell them it's not you. Because I know what is the will of the Father. The will of God is I do good. And by doing good, then he does the rest. My doing good, as I please the Lord, as I do that which is the will of God, it's going to silence the ignorant talk of foolish people. Praise the name of the Lord. The other one I found, I want to just highlight. And this one is really a little bit tricky for many of us, me included. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, and this is a verse that Pastor Mickey read for us during the prayer vigil. It says, can we read together this? Can we read it again and let it sink in? Give thanks in some. Give thanks in all circumstances. And the word of God is saying that is, this is God's will for you. This is God's will for you. God's will for us is to give thanks in all. It does not define which kind of circumstance. Can we read again? Because this one, today I'm just going to let it sink in slowly, yeah? Can we read again? Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. As people of the kingdom, our life should be marked with gratitude, thanksgiving, in all things, in all circumstances. You got up after snoozing your alarm 5 times and you are late. Instead of having a bad day, just give thanks that I'm late. Praise the name of the Lord. What is the first thing you do when the circumstances do not align with your desires? This is a reflection question. What is the first thing you do when circumstances do not align with your desires and with your will? And with what you think it should happen to you as a child of God? What is your first response if they tell you, don't come to work anymore?
start questioning God, why is it happening? Why do this happen to me?
Okay. Questioning God. How many of us have missed an opportunity to say, let your will be done, and the will of God is that I give thanks? What is your response in every circumstance? The first thing you do when the circumstances do not, we have no problem with giving thanks when things are okay. Hey, when you receive a miracle, you don't need the pastor to remind you, give thanks. But when things are not working out, do you remember to do the will of God? Give thanks in all things, for this is the God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So that's another one. Explore. I'm saying it's a journey. Discover for yourself what is His will, so that when you pray, let your will be done. You're praying with understanding. You know what you are approving and what you are declaring to be established. Praise the name of the Lord. Another one I found is in 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13. It is God's will. No. 1 Thessalonians 4, 13. Is that the verse? So the verse that I'm reading is, it's God's will that you should be sanctified. Can you check verse 3? Yeah, it's verse 3. I'm sorry about that. It is God's will that you should be sanctified. Can we read together? It's God's will that you should be sanctified. That you should avoid sexual immorality. Praise the name of the Lord. Remember where we began in Romans, that do not be conformed to the patterns of the world. We are living in an era where everything, in media, everything, there's a lot of exposure to sexual sins and immorality. Praise the name of the Lord. And we are living in an era where it is even normalized. But what is the will of God? Is the will of God for children to start being sexually active at the age of 13? Amen. Hello, parents. Haven't you gone to the, what do you call them? For the physical. How many have daughters? You go for a physical. And what do they tell you? It is time for them to start having what? Talk to me, parents. Huh? No, now mama, here it is beyond that. Yeah? Is there a youth who will be willing to tell us what they say? At the age of 15, 16, what do they tell you now? Huh? What? Licia? You have no idea. You haven't gone to your physical. All right, patience. What do they tell you? Yeah, they start offering you availability of birth control. At what age? 13, 14, 15. Is that God's will? Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. You know, some of these things, we do not talk about them on the altar, but they should be addressed. Praise the name of the Lord. So the Bible says, it is God's will that you should be sanctified. If you belong to the kingdom, you should avoid sexual immorality. Praise the name of the Lord. I'm still your pastor. Hello. You're looking at me like, what happened to her today? It is God's will that you should be sanctified. And one of the ways the enemy is pushing an agenda of defilement is through sexual immorality. I'm not going to press so much because of the eyes you're looking with. Bear with me. Colossians 1, verse 1. And you can read even more of the opening of the letters, the epistles that Paul wrote. He always started like this: Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother. Every time he started writing a letter, he would always identify whatever I am doing, as I am serving, it is by the will of God. I am an apostle by the will of God. What is your identity? Is your identity by the will of God? We are living in a time where titles have become very popular and very important. That somebody would even get mad if you don't call them by their right title. But that title you are holding, can you proudly say and boldly say what I am an apostle by the will of God. This is not my will. This is not because I pushed this. It is by the will of God. You are calling, your identity cannot be attributed, it is by the will of God. Your career cannot be attributed, it is by the will of God. Because even careers give us titles, amen? We have nurses. Can you stand and say, who is a nurse here? Huh? Do you have nurses in the house? Oh, yeah, who? I, Chris, a nurse by the will of God. I, Patience, a teacher by the will of God. We have our engineer there. I, Dan, an engineer by the will of God. Is it by the will of God? Amen. Derek, I, drama by the, is it by the will of God? Or is your identity because you want to prove a point? Whatever you are pursuing, whatever is your identity, whatever is your calling, is it by the will of God? So many questions today. In Romans 8:27, the Bible says, and he who searches our heart, and I think we read this, Romans 8:27, he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. So what is the will of God even in the area of prayer? Is that our intercession, our prayer, is in accordance with the will of God. And this calls us to a place of looking even at your prayer points. What you are praying for, as you labor in prayer, is this in accordance with the will of God? You know, there are so many people who are praying for things so that they can show off. Amen. God, I pray you bless me so that they will know. That place, that saying they will know, even if you are saying they will know you are God, you are my God, it is from a place of bruised ego. Because you are like, you want to prove a point. But even in prayer, as we intercede, it should be in accordance with the will of God. And so, as we continue to pursue the will of God, it is also important to understand that we cannot fulfill His will by our own strength. Praise the name of the Lord. It is His will. Sometimes we understand His will and then we just make it our own. And we zero in, and there is no place for God to receive the glory. So even as we pursue His will, the Bible says in the book of Philippians 2:13, for it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill His purpose. It is God who works in you. So as we pray, Father, let thy will be done. And then, as I said, it is a prayer of surrender. You surrender and you allow him now to work in you so that it is no longer about your will. Even whatever you are willing, whatever you are desiring is aligned with his will. Praise the name of the Lord. So that you act and you fulfill his good purpose. Because his will always leads to his good purpose. Praise the name of the Lord. The result of his will being done is his purpose. He has purposes. And his purposes cannot be thwarted. Praise the name of the Lord. In John 6 verse 40, the Bible says, "For my Father's will," this is Jesus saying, "my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day." This is the will of God. This is a guarantee that if we look up to the Son and believe in him, we have eternal life. This agenda is God's agenda. This will is his will. And it is the Lord's will that we will resurrect. Praise the name of the Lord. Just as Jesus resurrected from the dead, it is his will. It is in his will that we will resurrect. We will be raised up on the last day. So after getting on this journey of discovering the will of God, the number three, it is up to us to desire to do his will. It is one thing to know. It is another thing to desire to do his will. Praise the name of the Lord. How many of you know, is like, okay, I know you like this. You know, I know you like blue color. But because I don't like it, even if you say the color code is blue, I don't have the desire. I don't have the desire. Please stop those looks. I'm not attacking anyone. Praise the name of the Lord. So it is for us to take the other step, to desire to do his will. And you know, David said in Psalms 40 verse 8, "I desire to do your will, my God. Your law is within my heart." How many of us can say that? I desire. Like, you know, it's no longer about what you desire. You know that it is the desire of the Lord that we seek and pray continually. And sometimes we feel like we want to sleep. Amen? Because that is what our bodies are saying. No, you're tired. You need to sleep. But the desire to do the will of God, can it be so strong that you feel, no matter how much I'm feeling tired and I need to sleep, because the Lord is leading me to pray, I desire to do your will, O God. I desire to do your will. The desire to do the will of God be greater than the desire for you to do whatever you want to do. Praise the name of the Lord. The desire for you to revenge be less. And you desire to do the will of God, and the will of God says forgive. Praise the name of the Lord. Jesus said this, and I know we've quoted this. He said in John 4:34, "My food," said Jesus, "is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work." You know food? A desire to do the will of God, it's like food. At this point, the disciples had gone to look for bread, and Jesus sat at the well. And he was hungry. The reason why the disciples went, it is because they were hungry. They had gone to look for food because they were hungry. Jesus sits at that well. A woman comes, a Samaritan woman comes. He interacts with this woman. This woman's life is transformed. And this woman goes and gets everybody from the village. And Jesus is so busy, you know, healing the sick and touching their lives. And the disciples are there with the bread. And they're like, when is he going to eat? When is he going to eat? And they're like, oh, did somebody give him food when you are away? And he said this, "My food." is to do the will of the Father and to finish his work. Do you have such a desire to do his will that it is more than your desire to have pizza? And nyama choma. That after doing his will, you would feel like you are full, like you ate nyama choma. I love nyama choma, that's why I'm quoting it. And I know there are pizza lovers here. Huh? That you will be full and you are satisfied because you did his will, as just like the way you feel satisfied when you have food. Such a desire to do his will. Praise the name of the Lord. How many of us can say that as Jesus? My food. What gives me satisfaction. What gives me joy. What gives me fulfillment is to do his will. Praise the name of the Lord. First Peter 4:19, I'm back to First Peter. The Bible says, so then those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good. Those who suffer according to God's will. So we've talked about the desire. And the final point I want to clarify today is that you are at a place where you do the will of God no matter what. You do the will of God no matter what. And that's why Peter is saying, those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good. Sometimes you suffer, but you're suffering according to God's will. What we may think is suffering, what we may consider is suffering. It means that even in the midst of suffering, you continue to do good because it is the will of God that we do good. And commit yourself faithfully to the Creator. Say, Lord, I will continue doing good even when they don't acknowledge I did good. Amen. No, there was a point in my life I looked and said, I'm not going to be doing people favors. Because sometimes I do people favors, I do good, and then they reward me with. And at one point I was so mad. I said, God, why do you let this happen to me? But this verse is saying, it doesn't matter whether you suffer. Like, without giving the details, in the year 2021, I helped someone. The way you can just be good and just be kind and you help someone. I did that. And even today, I'm feeling the effects of the damage they did after me helping. Praise the name of the Lord. And I remember saying, I'm not going to help anyone else. I will never help anyone else. And I know there are some things I will not do. But according to this word, because somebody else took advantage of me doing good, should not stop me from doing good. We continue doing good. Praise the name of the Lord. How many of us have stopped doing good because you suffered? How many of us are not still saying, let thy will be done? Are not manifesting the will of God by doing good because you did good and you suffered? Peter is saying, so then those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue doing good. Amen. First Peter, still verse 2 says, so this is where you say, First Peter, I'm still in 4 verse 2. This is where you say, I will continue to do the will of God no matter what. This is a place of total surrender. As a result, they do not live the rest of their earthly life for evil human desires, but rather for the will of God. It is a place of saying, even my living, my day-to-day living, it's not for ugly human desires, but it is for the will of God. Meaning from the moment you wake up to the evening, you can take stock of your hours and say, I have lived for the will of God. Whatever I have done is for the will of God. Praise the name of the Lord. Hebrews 10:36, the Bible says, you need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he promised. You need to persevere. As we continue seeking his will, perseverance is a requirement. And you know, sometimes we tell people, come to Jesus, all your troubles will be. But this kingdom, because it is contrary to the world that we are living in, we need to persevere. Praise the name of the Lord. Persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. One of the things I've discovered in this kingdom, you do not receive until you get to the end. Amen. If it is assignment you have, you know, we are living in an era where we just give appreciations, tokens, even where there is no effort that has been applied. Amen. Somebody didn't work hard, but because we are careful of their emotional being, then we will still give them something. Yet they never did any work. Have you seen that system? The reward system, the token system. Even without accomplishing anything. So it's like, okay, but you still came to class. Even if you were sleeping throughout, we will give you this. But in the kingdom, the promise, for it to be fulfilled, you have to have done, gone through the process. When it is matters of the will of God, it is for us to persevere in the process so that we receive the promise. Amen. So it is getting to that place of saying, I will do the will of God no matter what. I will persevere in the process no matter what. Fulfill that which is in the will of God for me to receive the promise. In 1 Peter 3:17, I don't know why the Holy Spirit is highlighting about suffering so much, because suffering takes people from the will of God. You go through a mishap in life and your prayer life just nosedives. You no longer pray. Amen. But he's saying, It is better. Tell your neighbor, for it is better. If it is God's will to suffer for doing good than evil. Can we preach to one another this part? Yeah, you come cry, no, I'm suffering, no, just tell them it is better. Yeah, it is. It is better. Ah, preach until they get it. It is better if it is God's will to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. Huh? Because a little suffering, I don't know where God is. I'm not even praying. I'm not, you know, a little suffering. Tell you, it is better to suffer if it is God's will. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. And why am I saying this? As I come to the conclusion in 1 John 2,